The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
If you would, please go with me to Psalm 106, beginning in verse 1. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise you, the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that does righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that you bear unto your people. O visit me with your salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We're going to read several verses here. Hang in. Follow along. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not your wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of your mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness, and he saved them with the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was none of them left. Then believed they his words, they sang his praise. Now, what I'm wanting to focus on here in the beginning of this passage we just read is that Israel was redeemed from the hand of the enemy through God's mercy. And as it says, that his mighty powers would be known. In other words, God said that he was going to do it. And he did it. And he did it. I have entitled this message, May We Never Forget. Brethren, what we notice in the first part of this passage here in Psalm 106 is the question that is being asked. And the question is, who can show forth his praise? Who can show forth his praise? And at the end of this passage, show Israel singing God's praise. Then in Exodus 6, we read that God had purpose in delivering and redeeming Israel, and that purpose was that he wanted his great power to be known. To put it very simple, God wanted a covenant relationship with Israel. Because you see, brethren, God knew that delivering them, Israel, would require great judgments and his stretched out arm. He knew what it was going to take, and he said he was going to do it, and he did it. God intended to have a people in a covenant relationship with him. And that is, to put it another way, they would be his people and he would be their God. He wanted them to be free from bondage. Now, go with me to Exodus 6. I referred to it. Now, let's go there and let's read, beginning in verse 1, Exodus 6 and verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shall you see what I will do to Pharaoh. Not that I might possibly could accomplish. Now I want you to see what I will do to Pharaoh. With a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name, Jehovah, was I not known. This word Jehovah is an added in added in word. I'm not going through all of that, but the word would be Jehovah, Yahweh, meaning the self-existent one, the eternal God, or the I am that I am, the name that he revealed himself to Moses back in Exodus chapter 3. So let's go on here in chapter 6, verse 4. And I have also established my covenant with them. Remember, we said that he said he wanted a covenant relationship. And he says, and I established a covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. God told them that he would redeem them. Verse 7, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land, out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And as we know, this did happen. Yet, go back with me to Psalm 106. Let's go back once again to Psalm 106. What happened next? 106, Psalm 106 and verse 13. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. The NIV puts it this way. But they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold. Wow. After all he told him he was going to do. And he did it. God kept his word to Israel and he completed his initial intent. And yet, the thing is, Israel forgot his great judgments. They forgot his mighty acts. And they forgot his redemption. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a major question in my mind when I read this. And I've read this many times, as you all have. But I still have this question. How could this have happened? Here's the point that I'm getting to. These things have been written for us in these days. I know you've read this. I know you've heard this, and this is not new. But just let this sink in and realize this and feel this in our bodies. All of this that happened to them for us. For us. For you, for me. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. I'm going to read this out of the New American Standard Bible. Now these things happened to them as an example. And they were written for our instruction. And you can put your name there. All of this happened to them for me. Because we're part of the body of Jesus Christ today. For all of us upon whom the ends of the age have come. The church of God today. I'm going to read this also out of the Amplified Bible. It adds in some a little other words to clarify it, and I like it. I don't typically read from the Amplified from scriptures. In sermons, but I will this one. Now these things happened to them, and as example and warning to us, they were written for our instruction, to admonish and to equip us upon whom the ages have come. Since these things happened to them as an example and as warnings to us, then I think that we need to ask ourselves a question. What can we do to never forget. The thing is, brethren, periodically we need to carefully examine these events and these issues in our lives. In fact, we're even told, examine ourselves. And we do. This is the why. So here I want to ask ourselves, over the years in the Church of God, have we forgotten any of God's mighty interventions? Have we? Have we in any way forgot His works? Do we show forth His praise? Brethren, please, may all of us please be careful lest we also forget. Hence the title, May We Never Forget. You see, God promised Israel they would be His people and He would redeem them, and He did. And they sang joyfully about their freedom and their redemption, and yet they soon forgot His work. And this happened to them when they made terrible decisions that allowed them to forget. And brother, thankfully, we now have the benefit of hindsight, and we also have the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit. They didn't have either one of those. They didn't have either one. However, the Bible says Israel wanted to go back into Egypt. Now, I don't know about you, but that is really amazing to me. And I mean, I know this story. I preached on it for years, and you know, we all understand this, but I'm still amazed at this. Really? Really? They wanted to return back into Egypt, and what we need to realize, brethren, is this is symbolic for us in the New Testament church as warning us that we not go back into our sins. It seems to me that over the years, at least it seems to me, as we enter into the days of unleavened bread, we keep going back into Egypt. We do that by generally addressing these days as God bringing us out of our bondage to sin. Well, yeah, symbolically it pictures that, but there's so much more to this that we need to focus on. We need to live our lives as if we are out of bondage because, brethren, I mean we are out of bondage. We have been delivered out of bondage. It is for them to this happened to them so that we can see their physical being delivered, but we have been spiritually delivered out of our bondage, and we don't go back into that. And I'm not implying, and I certainly don't mean to imply, that we do not sin at times, because I understand that sometimes we do. We miss the mark. I know that. But we need to ask, what can we do to never forget? What I'm saying is that we are no longer in bondage to sin. We are no longer to bondage in sin. God has already redeemed us and God has freed us. Why would we want to go back? We have been delivered. We have been set free. We have been redeemed. So perhaps maybe we need to ask, what do we mean by redeemed? The Greek word, what the Greek word is immaterial here for this purpose, but the Greek word for redeem or redeem means a release. Affected by payment of ransom. It means deliverance. Technically, it means redemption. Literally, it means buying back from, or repurchasing, or winning back what has previously been forfeited or lost. Do you get that? We have been bought back. We have been redeemed. We have been purchased, repurchased. The Hebrew word for redeem, redeem or redeemed is goel. And this word means bought back, buy back, claim, rescue, redeem. And you've heard this word. In Israel, goel was an act of a kinsman. Remember the story of Ruth and Boaz? It's not just four little chapter book in the Bible back there. There is real significant meaning for us today. What we need to realize, brethren, is that God has redeemed us and set us free through Jesus Christ, our goel. He is our Redeemer, our kinsman. And he bought us back. What I'd like for us to do now is I'd like for us to take a look at a few scriptures that indicate that we have already been redeemed and set free. My purpose in doing this is to drive the point home. Over and over and over. Because I want us to see this. I want us to get this point. I also want, as we read some of these passages, I want us to understand and notice that there are some of them that are past tense that are used in some of these references. Because here's the thing, brother. Sin need not rule over us. We are now under the grace of God. And that's an important statement. That's an important concept to understand. So let's read some of these passages. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Romans 6, verse 9. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. Know that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Okay, now let's just start right there. If he died and he died once, he doesn't need to die anymore, and he died for us, what is that telling us? It's all paid for. We are redeemed. That's what it is saying. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Now, notice what he tells us about us. Continuing reading here, now, verse 11. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, but that you obey it in the lust thereof, or that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield you your members as instruments in righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So I repeat what I stated a little earlier. Sin need not rule over us. We are now under the grace of God. And we want to go back and we want to refer to the days of unleavened bread as picturing God, he's going to deliver us out in the last day. Oh, he finally delivered us. No, we have already been delivered. This is what these verses are saying. And if you just read this and look at this, you have to go, wow, this is powerful. What we see obviously is what happened to Israel is a type. It was a foreshadow of what God was going to do for us, the Church of God, today. A major lesson that we receive through these days of unleavened bread should be settled in our minds at this point. And there's going to be more. I told you I'm going to pile it on. That's the purpose. I'm going to do that. And that lesson is that we have been redeemed. We have been released by payment of a ransom, which is the definition of the word itself. And that ransom was the life of Jesus Christ. Freedom is ours through God's process, through His plan. Let's go on. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Have, not will have. Have. If you mark in your Bible, mark have. We have redemption now. We have it now. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the grace, or through the riches of His grace. Galatians 1 and verse 4, Galatians 1, 4, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Galatians 3:13. God has redeemed, past tense, us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, and it's written in Deuteronomy 21, verse 23, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. Hebrews 9, verse 15. And for this cause He is a mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. What is the eternal inheritance? Spirit-born sons of God in the family of God. We have it. God calls things as if they have already happened. This is what He is telling us. So how do we want to live our lives? We want to go back into our sins? I don't think so. Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed, past tense, of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed, past tense, from the hand of the enemy. Psalm 111 and verse 9. Remember, I told you I was going to pile this on. I told you. Psalm 111, verse 9. He sent redemption unto His people. He that commanded His covenant forever, holy and reverent is His name. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter 1, 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world and was manifest in these last times for you. He did it for you. We can put our name there. You can make some of these things personal. Yes, it's about everyone. Everybody's involved in this, but we can put our name there. Who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Romans 5, verse 10. Romans 5, verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. That saving there is He talking about that eternal inheritance. It's going to happen. And there are many, many more verses showing that we have been redeemed. We have been bought back. A ransom has been paid for our sins, and that ransom is for our death. He died for us for our sins. So I think we need to ask ourselves, so how do we avoid the traps Israel fell into? The answer is this book. The answer is the Word of God. The Word of God provides powerful answers. It's this book. Because here's the thing, brethren, it will be up to us to apply the suggestions and the ideas that we see as we read, as we understand, that because we need to read it, we need to study it, we need to meditate on it, and we need to do it every day of our lives. Now, I know I'm not the only one that can say this, but I've been doing this for over 50 years. And I don't have it all. I know I have not done all that I'm needing to do. So we need to pray, and we need to study it, and we need to meditate on it every day of our lives. We cannot just get the information we need unless it becomes a vital part of our lives. Jesus, the Word of God, in us. There is no other way. Now, I know some of you know that I do bullets, and I try to figure out a way that I could actually have them put them up on here, but I didn't know how to do it. Shame on me. I should have found out, huh? But anyway, but I have some bullets, and I'm going to have several of them, and you're not going to be able to write them all down, and maybe I can make a list of them, you know, get them to you later. But I want you to get these points. I want you to think about it. You know, bullets are just simply little statements, you know. The first one, seek the perfect will of God in all things by trusting His inspired Word. Sing about it. Talk about it. And retell the glorious things God has done for us and what He has done for others and what He is yet going to do for us and for others. Talk about it. Sing about it. Celebrate God's achievements in our lives. Consciously choose to stay out of the world's way of doing things. Yeah, I know you've got to go, you've got to earn a living. I understand all of those things, but we don't have to be involved in the ways they do things and the way they think. Identify our personal temptations and flaws that make us vulnerable. Make sure we really understand what sin is. We must label sin correctly. Take responsibility when we find a sin in our lives. Actively decide to repent of that specific sin. Avoid circumstances where sin is more likely. Well, every time I go over here, I always wind up getting in trouble. Don't go over here. Isn't that simple enough? But isn't that what we do? Whatever over here is, whatever that is, you know, you can come up with all kinds of things. Put distance between us and those places. Leave past sins in the past. Don't allow them to haunt us. Don't keep wanting to go back into our Egypt. They set the example. That's what they said they wanted to do. And we need to run so far from that because it was written. All of these things happened and were written down for us upon whom the ends of the world are come. Put our names there. They did all of these things so that I would be warned not to do this. They wanted to go back into Egypt. That's a type of sin. I want to go the other direction. I know this seems oversimplified, but that's the way you have to think. This is the way we have to do this. We live in a complicated world, and we're asked to think in complicated ways, and things don't have to be that complicated. Make it as simple as you can get it. This is what they wanted to do. God says it's bad, and so I determine I don't want to do that, so I go the other way. pray. Pray a lot. And then pray some more. Be persistent. Never give up. Fill our minds with the Word of God. And I have one more. Use affirmations. Now, I do understand that some of these are more difficult to accomplish than others. I understand that. Some of these suggestions would be more effective for specific people than others. I understand that also. I want us to now take a look at the value of using affirmations. I want to spend a little bit of time on that. An affirmation, there's a lot of different ways that you can describe and talk about what an affirmation is. An affirmation is a statement that will help us to reprogram the mind. Not going to read it, but you can put in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. They're by the renewing of the mind, we're to do this. It means, an affirmation, it means to state something as fact. We'll get into specifics and you'll see what I mean by that. It means to strongly assert a goal or a truth. Affirmations can be stated for personal, private use, or they can be stated publicly. We'll see some of that when we get into some verses about it, because we're going to see some verses in just a moment. Affirmations generally are short and easy to remember. I write that one in for me, because it has to be short and easy to remember for me. And so, brethren, please realize the Bible is full of affirmations that we can incorporate into our own lives. We can also create our own using God's Word as a guide. There are many, many verses that could be used as affirmations. Learning to use biblical affirmations can affect us in a number of ways. They also generally improve Bible study. They can actually help us to memorize the Word of God. They can help us to never forget the works God wants us to proclaim. And there are others. There are other statements. So I want us to take a look at some verses that can help us, that we could use as affirmations. Some of them are statements of fact made by God's servants. Others can be reworded so that we can use it. It may not be worded as that in Scripture, but we can take it and we can word it. We'll show you one of those as well. And we can incorporate some or all of them in our daily lives. Some provide comfort and others provide guidance. So let's take a look. And I'm going to read these real fast. I would almost suggest that you write the verses down and go back later and read it yourself. I'm going to tell you what it is. Joshua 24, verse 15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's an affirmation. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 146, and verse 2. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. While I'm alive, I'm going to sing and I'm going to praise God. May not always do it on key, not the point. The name of the Lord is a high tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Psalm 119, verse 105. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Second Corinthians 5, verse 17 is a real good one where you can reword it. I am in Christ. I am a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Isn't this talking about redemption? Isn't this what we've been talking about? These things over and over and over are affirmations, things that we can use, help us, guide us, encourage us, comfort us, strengthen us. So get more into the studying of the Word of God, rehearsing it, reading it, committing as much of it to memory as you can, using the Word of God, this holy book, as something that is a guidebook for our lives. And repeat the words to make it effect, to make it be a personal statement to God. I am a new creature in Jesus Christ. The verse says that. But do we state it that way? Do we even think it that way? Well, let's do. Let's think it that way. Let's understand it that way. Now, these are just a few of them, and you can look and you can use others. Here's the thing, brethren. When these powerful words from the Bible are often repeated privately or publicly, they have, in our lives on a personal basis, they have the power to increase our faith. They are there so that they will help us, that we will never forget. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brethren, we have been so blessed as the children of God today. We have the examples of all of those things written down for us. They went through them. They lived them so we could be written down for examples for us. And we have been redeemed. We have been bought. We have been delivered out of our sins. These days show us the redemption is there. We have the Word of God. We have the name of God upon us. God bless each one of you. Happy Holy Day to you all. And we love you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.